Okay, here we go. We're back. And we've gave some examples from Kay and from Vaughn. And they've told me, and Kay told us, and I've heard from several others, that they've loved the feeling of the messages of righteous judgment. And they said they felt a different sense of self. And this, I'm glad to hear this, because it is a feeling of peace that stops you and causes you to pause. Or thankfulness. Thankfulness certainly produces peace.
Amen.
But when you're in a situation where you can't be thankful, it's pretty hard to be peaceful, and vice versa. If you're not peaceful, you're not thankful. So it works both ways. We talked about this, you know, when we were talking about the ego, that we follow the false center and we're not listening to our true self. That true self is always at peace. It's within you. The peace you're looking for is already within you. That's why you can't find it outside. That's why you can't find it in the answers to your problems. Right? Because it's outside. The answer is over out there somewhere. It's not in here. So, when you're feeling this way, and it's a sense that has nothing to do with circumstance, when you're feeling this sense, this intuition of righteousness, this is the eternal self coming forward. It's coming forward and it's waiting. And you begin to respond to issues instead of react to issues. You begin to. Now don't judge yourself if you don't, right? But the sense, instead of a problem being longer, it keeps starting to shorten. I've had ones a lot longer than keys. Now here's an example of thankfulness, but still no peace. Okay? And this isn't, I'm not bragging on myself at all about this. I'm just going to tell you the story. We had our IT department decided to switch us over to a new shopping cart and do a new website, and it looked gorgeous. It was beautiful. I was all excited. And they switched it over, and I didn't realize they changed the URLs, and we disappeared from the face of the earth. Every website disappeared. Now, it was still there if you entered the URL, but Google back then didn't crawl the web as much as they do now. They crawled it once a week. So they didn't even know we were there yet. And by the time they got it switched around, it cost us $300,000. And I never said a word to them. I never said a word. And they were shocked. They were all waiting me to start firing people. Not that I did that, but they said, you know, what's he going to do? And I'm not really mean to my people, you know, but they're saying, wow, what's he going to do? And I didn't do anything. I just kept coming into work and doing my stuff and talking to him normal. And finally, a bantam sort of sheepishly walked in and said, what do we do? And I said, well, I don't know, but if this keeps up, you're not going to get a paycheck eventually. And they said, oh, yeah. And off they went to fix it. But I had the peace to fix that, right? I had the peace to fix it. I wouldn't say I was thankful. I couldn't say that. But I did have peace. So do you see what I mean?
Yes.
It depends on what it is. Now, I'd eventually got out of my key hell, but you sped it up for me, didn't you? But it took 3 times. Didn't it? Now, when we got in the boat and everybody started moving, it went down a little more. And as nobody fell out of the boat, we didn't lose any dogs. It went down a little more. And then Jerry started chirping away, you know. And by the third time of his, you know, barking at me, it was gone. You know, and I was even having fun. You know, and these guys were having fun. Elaine was going nuts. She wanted to be like on the Titanic and get up on the front, you know. And anyways, guys, we went on a speedboat last night. That was what we're talking about, so sorry. We couldn't find the keys to the pontoon. So anyways. So, here we go. So, to some degree, this is what I call working out your salvation here, right? It's not something you do. It's a feeling you follow. A sense of peace, a sense of thankfulness. And when you get sensitive to that and start to realize that it's gone, so we don't want to get complacent about thankfulness and peace, right? Because we can get tricked back into thinking that something in this world's giving it to us pretty easily. We can mix the two. And this is the leaven. Nope, we can't mix it. So this peace, yeah, the peace and the thankfulness goes before you and absorbs what's going on. And it worked pretty well with this real big thing. With this real big thing, it worked well, but it didn't work so well with the keys, did it? Not as well, because I didn't say a peep when this happened. Not a peep. Not a word. And it's because I want these kids to learn. And I don't mind spending money on them learning, because somebody's got to do it. I can't do everything. You can't. And you got to let them make mistakes sometimes. And sometimes you're not so good about that. Sometimes it honks you off a little, you know. So, right. So, now, so we release this false sense of self that's judging, and then you find you thought you were running the business, it says. I loved it when I heard this. I kept trying to fast forward to that statement all the time because my business, the thing with all the zeros, was following me around. Now, I wasn't real upset, but it was nipping at my heels. Do you know what I mean? It was just like an irritation, you know? It was nipping at my heels. And so you find it's not you running the business, and it never was you in the first place. There was behind it all an invisible self saying, come unto me and I will give thee rest. I will give you harmony. I will show you a way called the way of the Christ. I will lead you out of the passing moments called mortality. I will show you my Father's kingdom, but seek me first. Not in the hereafter. Don't wait for the form to go. Nothing's going to change when we pass from this realm. That's the victory over the second death. Nothing will change. Nothing's going to happen. We've got to realize that. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Right? The sting comes from the judgment and the fear of passing time. That's where it comes from. So, when Christ is running your business, there'll be a heightened sense of peace. And you don't measure it. If you go a little nuts, that's okay. But this time, you remember quicker, see? Because it's not performance, it's just a sense. You remember, oh, I remember that feeling I had 2 days ago. I'm going to return to my Father's house, see? Because I've went back into the world for a little bit, haven't I? And so that feeling starts to pull you back. That intuition begins to pull you back, right? And it's okay to leave. It's like being on a spaceship. Just make sure you're hooked up to air supply and stuff, you know? You can go around the barn a couple times. And you'll forget, oh, I've been here before and that was no fun. I'm going to go back to Father's house. I'm going to quit leaving this. I'm going to leave this world. Leaving this world is not judging by appearances. It's not believing that time's passing. And the first indication you've got is a peace that he said is everlasting. Not the peace that the world gives, which is temporary, but a peace that, like I did when we were having this big problem. I didn't freak out. I don't even think I told her about it till after it was all done. And there's a lot of things that happen up there I don't tell her about. And not that she shouldn't know, but it's just, you know, they go in and they come out, you know. I mean, if I sit down and talked about them all the time, I would never get any work done. But it happens all the time. And I do pretty good with eight of them, and a couple of them drag me to the floor, you know. Sometimes the simple ones, you know. But anyway, so seek first the kingdom. Don't wait for the form to go. In your consciousness, let it go. Don't wait for this form to go. In your consciousness, let your form go. Take no thought for your life or your body. It says body too. Let it go. Let it go. Don't focus on your body. So what if there's a little pain there? Get a hammer out and hit something else. That's what the Chinese do. Your toe hurts? Ah, boo! Oh, my toe quit hurting. Well, now your knee's throbbing. Oh, I'm not kidding now. I mean, it's funny, but they do that to treat colds over there. They come up and give you pain in another area. And your cold goes away because a lot of it's in the head, in our heads. I believe in all that, right? Yeah, I believe in that. So now, John tells us not to love the world. And I'd like you to see what he says in the light of what we've been discussing. John, I love John. Oh my gosh. If all we had was John's work, we'd be all set. So, let's get his exact statement. Here we go. Now, again, it's going to sound a little bit painful at first, but if you stay with me, you'll hear the answer. John in 2:15 says, neither love the world nor the things which are in the world. Whoever loves the world hath not the love of the Father in his heart. What a strange statement. That's got to be the other guy. It can't be me. And Jerry's over to say, well, it can't be me. It's got to be Mike. Or it's got to be somebody in here. Now, if we're both saying it's someone else, who benefits? And I keep saying this all the time. This whole scripture was written for us, to deliver us from hell, not someone else. You can't help someone else if you're still there. We can have a party, you know. Neither love the world nor the things that are in the world. Whoever loves the world hath not the love of the Father in his heart. What a strange statement. Whoever loves the world has not the love of the Father in his heart. But you can't go around hating everybody, you see. So it can't mean that, right? So we sort of thought that. We got to separate ourselves, you know, from the heathens that drink beer. Whatever you want to call them. So it can't mean that. You can't despise your work in this world. So it can't mean that, can it? So what does it mean? If you have the love of the world in you, you do not have the love of God in your heart. In other words, you cannot recognize this passing world as reality. Right? Now, we just talked about that in a different way, didn't we? In the same thing, but it was a different way. Where he said, I'm going to leave this world and go to the Father. Now, here John's saying, if you love the world, okay, you have not the love of the Father in your heart. Now, what does it do? It doesn't mean it's not here. It means it gets muffled by the circumstances. That's what we don't love. And it's pretty easy to not love the judgment of appearances when you finally recognize that that's what you're doing, right? But that's what it's talking about. You recognize the passing world. Recognize the passing world. Oh yeah, don't recognize the passing world as reality. That's loving the world. Putting your life into it. Thinking that your life depends on the activities of your body in this world. That's why we don't go around correcting people. Okay? If the, what good is it going to do if somebody's in hell and you stop them from doing something? They're still in hell. If we really care about them, we want to see them escape hell, don't we? So how can we judge somebody about anything and think we're helping? That's what the Pharisees did. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. That's not loving them. That's loving the world. Right? So, putting your life into it, thinking that your life depends on the activities of your body, that's loving the world. It's not loving God. And it even goes so far as to say, if you accept the reality of the world, that's loving the world. Of your world. If you accept the reality of the world, the love of the Father is not in your heart. And what? Why would that be if God had created the world? You see how subtle we're told this world is not your Father's kingdom? We think God created the world. Now, we're not talking about the appearances again, remember? We're talking about the illusion of judgment and passing time. Keep it in context, because you wander away from that pretty easy. And go back to start thinking there's something wrong with the world. The only thing wrong with the world is our judgment of it. And the only thing wrong with your neighbor is our judgment of him. How could he say, love your neighbor as yourself? Because he is yourself. Your neighbor's yourself. So if you can't see yourself in your neighbor, you're loving the world. You're judging him. So the hypnotism of the sense mind has recreated what we think is the kingdom of God into an illusion called this world, or our world, which exists only in the hypnotized mind, which recreated it. This is what happened. If you read Marilyn Schutt's article on Genesis 1 and 2, it's wonderful because she talks about the same thing. Another God showed up. Another God. There was two creations in Genesis. I've got the article. I can send it to you because I don't think it's easy to find. Yeah, I have it, though. I can send it to you. It's wonderful. So, you're pouring your life into this world and you're loving it. You're loving it, whatever it is. And it says here, the love of the Father is not in your heart if that's what you're doing. Because you're not awake to the illusion of the passing moment called this world. Because all that is in this world, remember the word all that is in this world is not of the Father. And why is that? Because it's passing away. Nothing from God, nothing that comes from God passes. God didn't create anything that dies. God created nothing that dies. Nothing can die in God. Nothing. So, John also talks about little children, young men, and fathers in his first epistle. And I want to go over it again. And if you're in that realm of little children, you're dwelling in the realm of little faith, where you're seeing yourself calling on a God and asking him to come into your world and change things in your world. And he cannot enter into this. Why is that? Because God cannot help you when you're dwelling in a future world that's not real. And there's many statements that say that. But when we live in time, we always live in the future. We're always waiting for something to happen. So that's the trip that pushes you back into the time realm. And it's tied to our complaining. If we're complaining about something, we want something to happen. And can we be thankful with where we're at? No, we can't. Now, thank God there's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you've got to be in Christ Jesus to escape the judgment. Right? I mean, in this, you have to have the sense of it. So here's what the response should be. I must be that self which does not love the world. Now, the world is our world now. We're not talking about anybody else's world in the appearances, right? Well, I should really say our world. Okay, the Bible says the. But it's talking to you, remember? Let's say it this way. I must be that self which does not love the answer to my circumstances, the results to my circumstances, the concept I have of my world. Myself rests in the results. It doesn't judge by the results, right? That's where the Father dwells. I must be that self which is not taken by the appearances of the world, the good ones and the bad ones. All of this is in the treadmill of time. All of my personal ambitions are of no value. They do not take me into the kingdom. They keep me in the world. All of the things that I want to possess in the world keep me from oneness with the Father. And yet, I don't have to give them up. I don't have to give them up, okay? I have to see through the material things of this world. That doesn't mean you got to go sell everything and stand on a peak somewhere and wait for Jesus to come. I know many people who've done that. Sold everything. That was years ago. I wonder where they're at now. That was back in the 80s or 90s. We have to see through those things that are perishable. Don't hang on to them loosely. I've heard Tony say that. You just hang on to it loosely. Through the things of passing time that die, hang on to them loosely. And so my life doesn't depend on those things. My life is independent of them. And believing that your understanding brings reward traps you right back into the world of appearances. We've got to get off the results. We can't worry about the results. Let the results take care of themselves. Just let them. So, John was very clear about this losing of this life. He talked a lot about it. And this is exactly what he was talking about. He quoted Jesus in the Gospel and in the book of Revelations. He made another revealing statement. You know what he said in the Gospel of John? You've got to lose your life to find it. Well, this is exactly what we're talking about. And if you don't understand it well enough right now, keep listening over and over. It'll come to you because it's true. I know it's true. I've been living this and experiencing it. And I wander away from the barn a little bit, but not as far this time. I got a choker on now. I got the spiritual choker on that grabs me, okay? So here's, this is such a great statement. In Revelation 12, 10 and 11, he said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Wow. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now that's a wonderful statement. Our mind accused ourself day and night. Our mind, it's just right here is the only distance between what's talking about right here. It's the mind, the accuser of their brethren, accusing the self, day and night. And it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, don't get stuck on those because you got to get the last statement first to make the first two not go into works. And here's what it said. Because they loved not their lives unto death. That's what happens when you love your life, is you suffer from the second death. If you don't go through the first one, you're going to suffer from the second one. And they loved not their lives unto death. Isn't that beautiful? They loved not their lives from the death. This was their victory. They loved not their lives unto death. And in Revelation 12, 11, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, exactly what we've been talking about, he that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. Now, we've been talking enough about how we overcome. We've talked about it 100 different ways, haven't we, this weekend? We started about giving up your answer to your problems, to understanding that we're that what we think we are is a reflection of everybody else. We know that's not real, right? To now seeing that when we're in the realm of judging things, we're trapped in time. This is what we're to overcome. And it's a wonderful thing to overcome this. It's a wonderful thing. And you'll not be hurt by the second death. Well, one, you won't believe in it. And you'll know it's not real. Okay. Nothing that dies was ever created by God. And yet where everything dies, it says in verse 12:11, the kingdom of God comes into birth. And the immortal realm is born. Look through this dying self to the eternal, and there is the real you, the nature of the invisible Christ. Now, we've said we're not dying. We know we're going to have life after death. But we're only going to have life after death if we die to the false concept of who we are. That's the death we have to go through. The death of the ego. The death of the time man. He's got to die for you to live in this realm now. You can't live in this world then and expect favors from God. Can you? Are we all there? Yes. You can't live in this fake world and expect God to give you favors. Because when you're living in this world, you're never living in the now. You never live there. And that's the only place God can help you, is in the now. God can't help you if you wander off into an illusion because it ain't real. He can't. He doesn't live in future. And that's what you do. And so God is telling you again, love not the world. God is specifically telling you that this is not my world. My kingdom is not of this world. And so once more, you're seeing division when you want favors from God. Because if you want favors from God, it's Jehovah. We're back to worshiping Jehovah again. The time God that does stuff for you. Right? God isn't doing anything for anybody. Not a thing. So we're seeing the division with which the senses make between eternity and the illusion of time. So you've lived in time all your life. So right now I want to stop and I want to, again, bring up something to clarify where our Infinite Way friends, who we love, we're not condemning a person, we're correcting a teaching, have abandoned their own revelation because this statement, you can't live in this world and expect favors from God, came from them. I didn't write that. I go, wow, that's a great statement. I love that. It sets me free. I can quit looking for stuff. Yeah. And realize I got it all. Yeah. I've got it all. So they do a great job of delivering us from this world, but then they can say you can meditate your way back into reward from God or blessing from God. When they say you can't live in this world and expect favors from God. Now, wait a minute. That's driving me nuts. They're opposite. We can't expect favors from God, it says. So we can't view meditation as a religious art that means God will reward you. It's a tool for us to escape all that. That's what we're trying to escape. We're not going to go there and then come back out again. We want to escape all of it. God has never rewarded anyone with anything. And I'm going to prove to you why. God has never rewarded anyone with anything. Ever. Ever. You have just believed it with your own deception of the appearances in your belief of Jehovah. In your belief of a time God who gives people things. Now I'm going to say it again. I want you to listen. Okay, listen. God has never rewarded anybody with anything in this world, ever. And why is that? Because he said, I am your reward. I am your reward. I am your reward. Love not the world or the things of the world. When you love the world, the love of the Father is not in your heart. If you think God's going to give you a favor, you forgot what your reward is. You're going from this big thing to this little bitty teeny thing is trashing you. This little bitty thing is going to trash you and send you to hell. Now, who wants to do that? Now, you following me?
Yes.
If God's your reward, why are you taking thought over the little bitty things, though ye have little faith? Why? Are we going to go clear back to where Abraham was? Because he didn't get it. And I'm seeing leaven in this. I see leaven in this meditation stuff. Okay? We can't work our way anywhere. We got to work our way out, not up, not into it. We got to undo all the deception in our minds. That's the only place anything's got to happen. It's not outer. It's never outer. So we see here, if God's going to give us favors in this world, it's outer. And then if he doesn't give you one, you're upset and you think you did something wrong. Right? It's not good. We don't want to go there. I am your reward. And you must be satisfied with that. No matter what the appearance presents you. Hello? Yeah. We must be satisfied with that. There are no fringe benefits of any kind. You want God and fringe benefits? Is that what you want? You're going to mix them up? And then what's your definition of fringe benefits? Mine's different than yours, I'm sure. But a guy who doesn't have a wife, he wants a wife. A guy that's got a business tanking, he needs some more business. See? So what's a God to do? He's up there sitting at the computer just waiting for you. You know, give him something now. So we're controlling God then, aren't we? That's goofy. It's just nonsense. You must be satisfied with this reward. It's like it's a bad thing, right? To get God. He says, I'm all. He says, I'm all. How much more do you want, you know? I'm all and in all and over all, and I'm your reward. You cannot mix the reward of the Father that indwells you with that presence of which is... Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't word this right. Excuse me. You can't mix the invisible with the visible, is what I'm saying. They don't mix together. So you must say you do not believe in the appearances any longer, no matter what it is. We are not going to benefit socially or financially from understanding truth. No, you are going to move beyond the appearances and know that no matter what happens in this world, it will never touch me outside of time. It can never touch me. It can never touch the Father. It can't touch that. If that's where you're dwelling, it can never touch it. And that's where we rest. That's what we dwell in. Because we've moved now from a life of judging by appearances into the understanding of righteous judgment. So what should we be about? If we're consumed with our problems and upset about it, how can I love my brother? Because I call my brother and I want to tell him about all my problems. How can I love my brother like myself if I'm consumed with my problems for myself? You can't. We should be like little border collies. Just we can't wait to tell somebody about this truth. We're just waiting. Somebody will say something and it'll fit in and you'll say, oh, God sees you in righteousness and he sees you with equity. And then you've got an opportunity to tell them who that is. Not what it is. Who is it? Well, it's in you. It's in you. You don't see it. I can tell you how you can see that. And we've got Kay's kids seeing this. Something about understanding this righteous judgment drew them in. The guy was angry. He hasn't had a job for a year. And he said automatically it's just changing. He probably doesn't even know why. But it's an intuition, a feeling that draws him in. So the purpose of why we're together this weekend is to learn to live outside of time, consciously in our immortal self. That doesn't mean all our wrinkles are going to disappear from your face tomorrow. Okay? Because that's judging by appearances, isn't it? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that suddenly you're going to want to go out and jog if you haven't been doing it for 20 years. But it does mean that a new law will begin to take precedence in your life. A new law. Now then, when you learn to live outside of time consciously, you'll still be here. You'll still be here. You will still be running your business. You'll still have a family. You can still be a scientist. You can be a lecturer. You can be an author. You can be anything in this world, provided spirit is doing it and you are not. Provided you are not taking the play away from your immortal self by letting it have its will through you. Now Jesus said, I've not come to do my will, but the will of the Father. The will of man is always to judge by appearances. And we react to the appearances. That's not how the Father runs your business. Right? We know that. So we've got all the answers to this. If we go back and listen to this, we can pull them out. We've got the answers to this. So you are an outer image. This outer image of you is an x-ray of your inner consciousness, so that your immortal self is appearing to the world as the Christ, or someone running a hospital, or someone running an architect's firm. I know you can accept this. I also know that you can yield to it because it's revealing the real you. And it's the real you you've not seen in the past. Jesus said that you will do greater works. It is because they were not to be in time. The works I do, ye shall do in time. But greater works shall ye do outside of time. That's where the greater works are, because the thing doesn't originate outside of time. This is why Jesus did not come to heal people, O ye of little faith. Jesus came down and worked in a realm of time to time men. Who, what did they want all the time? They wanted to be fed. They wanted to be healed. I want. And if that was God's purpose, wouldn't he still be here doing it? Why did it disappear? Because it was a dispensation in time. That's why it's disappeared. We've got to rise above that. If you're listening or you're going to hear this recording and you're looking for more health, drop it. I'm telling you to drop it. Let go of it. You don't need to get healed. You're not a man that needs to get healed. You're the Christ, the living Christ. And you've got to do what Kathy said and quit saying and quit telling people all the time what's wrong with you. Stop it. We've got a little issue going on with our little dog. And I told Diane, I said, listen, I'm with you. I'm going to be there with you. But that's not a topic we want to discuss in these meetings. We don't want to dwell on that. Okay? That's not what we're here for. And it doesn't mean I don't care about him. But there's a higher level. We have to escape this. We have to let this stuff go. And so if you're struggling, let it go. Kathy said, I had to come to the place where it didn't matter what happened to me anymore. And you have to do that with everything you've got a desire with. That's the key. You've got to realize it doesn't matter what happens. And then you can enjoy every day. And you can go in with peace, and people will be drawn to you like flies to cows. Yvonne told us, he says, there's people just going across my path all the time. And they come in and tell me what's going on, and I start telling them about this. He says, it's unbelievable. It's just happening. He isn't making it happen. They're going to feel the sense of peace in you. People will sense that. They'll feel the love of God in you. So you see, this is another big deal right here, what I'm going to say to you. You got to think about this because it'll trip you up a little bit. You see, there's no future in time. There's no future in time. What future do you have in time? Figure it out. Absolutely none. And yet we've been living as if we had a future in it. Believe me, the kingdom of God must be where God is. Accept the presence of the imperfection, and you deny the presence of God. Look at it again. What is the imperfection? It is your time sense in a belief that God's absent. Why do you believe God's absent? Because you don't have the answer to your problem. And you're tempted, we used to, pray to him. Fix this, fix that. And did it work every time? No, it didn't. So why didn't it work every time? Well, you must have not prayed enough or fasted enough or whatever it was, right? We've got to get out of this trap, okay, of that. So, the imperfection we believe in is the time sense self. And your time sense self is only capable of recognizing a time sense world. You're locked in that prison. That's the trap. That's the bottomless pit. That's the quicksand, the treadmill, and it's called the seat of Satan. And that is why your prayers go unanswered, because you've been praying to a God that cannot save you. You think you're in the kingdom, but you're not in the kingdom if you're praying to a God to do something. Because in your very attempt to bring God down into your circumstances, you believe he needs to be notified. You're going to send him a note, which is your prayer. God, I'm in trouble. Help. You mean, what, if God was in that realm, don't you think he'd already know? And if he already knew, wouldn't he already done something about it before you asked? Absolutely. And he said, before you ask, I will answer you. That's got nothing to do with material things. Nothing to do with it. Let go of this world. Let go of it. So we don't send him a notice. So he comes and he says, fear not, I am with you. That is your reward. We've got to focus on the I am that's with you. That's all here right now. That's all that's ever been here. And all that will ever be here. The rest in time sense. Everything else is in time sense. The time sense world, your time sense, is the mortuary of the world. It's the world's mortuary. In time, everything dies. It's the mortuary of the world. We don't die, but our time sense image drowns us in the time that it created. We drowned in invisible time, and all that drowns is the time sense image we entertained in the mind that we did not know that the presence of God was there, this immortal sense. And this is what Moses was talking about when he gave us the story of Noah. Man is drowning in the ocean of time. Everything perishes in the ocean of time. Everything. It's the same story as Sodom and Gomorrah. Everything was consumed, and they were as if they never were. Again, he who hates his life in this world will preserve it unto eternal life. Now that it has no more sting when you understand it. That doesn't have a sting. It's telling you that your mortal sense of life and time is false. So to hate it is to refuse to live in the false self, the imitation. And once you resolve to not live in it, but to live in the reality of the true self, which is not in time, which is not confined to your form, then and only then are you preserving your life. The rest is death. So now we've learned how to step out of the false sense of life. And that's what John is telling us. That immortal self is always in your room, no matter where you are. And it's always saying, you are not of this world. John said, I must decrease and he must increase. Now that's not about John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, although it appears that way. It's about your mortal self and your immortal self. It's about the time man that only uses his mind and the soul of you that is already made perfect. I, John the Baptist, am playing the role of a mortal being. I must decrease. Your mortal self must decrease consciously. And then I, Christ, I'm playing the role of the inner soul who has come from God and appearing in the world. I must increase, meaning your immortal self must increase. And finally, immortal self is going up and mortal self is going down. All in your consciousness until there's not two, there's one. And you'll know when you're in the one because there'll be no conflict. There won't be conflict there. And then I and the Father are one. And the mortal sense of self dies. And you're still there. You're still sitting in the chair. You're still in the kitchen. You're still running the business. You're still a mother, a father, a child. But the mortal sense of self dies. Now you can become a tool, a vessel. To give. You can't give when you're in torment. It's pretty hard. When you're honked off, you certainly aren't giving to anybody anything, are you? You're in the world, but your immortal self is your living consciousness. You've been reborn to your own immortal self. You're born into time as an image, reborn outside of time. As your immortal self, this is the rebirth. Living outside of time is the key. This is what Jesus said when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. This is exactly what he said. Exactly. We've heard it. We haven't known what it's meant. You must be reborn again out of time, out of the judgment of appearances. You must be reborn. My kingdom is not in this world. But seek ye first my kingdom. And so you've got to seek it right here outside of this world, which means outside of time. This is the kingdom of no time, the kingdom outside of time. This is what John meant when he said, judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. So, I want to just finish with a couple verses here. Okay. Excuse me. Great. And we'll finish up. In Hebrews 7, it's talking about this eternal Christ life in you. And he says, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment. Time. Not after the law of the carnal commandment, time, but after the power of an endless life. Endless. We already have an endless life dwelling within us. When will we tap into it? When can we see through the glass darkly? When can we smash the glass, actually? There's a power called an endless life. It's not a power over something, is it? It's a peace that passes all understanding. And in Revelation, it says, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein that are, and the earth and the things therein that are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." So why don't we just be still now for a little bit, and we'll be done for today.
When I was young, I dreamed of being older, and now that I'm older, I dream of being young. I dream of a time when there was no time at all, and I wonder where the time is gone. When I was young, I dreamed of how I'd spend my life. Now that I'm older, I spend my life in dreams. The things I've planned, I've never done. The things I've done, I've never planned. And always, it's later than it seems. Time, you're no friend to me. But you go ticking by. I can hear the enemy. Each day you add another to the things I'll never be. Oh, time, you're no friend to me. So once I took my time, now time has taken me. No one here can tell me where to go. Time, you're no friend to me. As you go ticking by, I can hear the enemy. To the things I'll never be. Oh, time, you're no friend to me.